Well, there's been a mainstreaming, normalization of a lot of extremist ideas, both on the, the aesthetics have been mainstreamed. So you have a lot more mainstream looking young men, whether that's through the polos and the khakis that we saw, or, white supremacists wearing suits, with, lobbying for kind of ethno-state kinds of policies. I think you have had a mainstreaming and normalization more from elected officials, language that is, really moved the Overton window of acceptable public policy discourse further to the right. And so that has certainly changed and sort of legitimized the kind of rhetoric of white supremacist extremist recruiters and far-right recruiters. And that's true on the anti-government side as well, on where you have a much broader range of resistance to the government, resistance to supposed tyranny, language around, very polarized language about Second Amendment rights and about and making that about a Democrat versus Republican kind of situation. And similarly then with the shutdown and shelter in place orders, a very a rapid mobilization around the idea of protecting the status quo, whether that's protecting law enforcement and bringing out these citizen vigilante groups, or militias actually organizing sort of at the border to support ICE and make citizen arrests. So there is a wide range of things happening, but a lot of that over the last 3 or 4 years has been rooted in a broader acceptance of violent language and of the mainstreaming of kind of strong anti-immigrant and extremist ideas.
You say, and I have to say that this is brilliant on your part, that parents really have to tune into what their children are doing, especially now, because as you mentioned earlier, so many of them are online for so much more of the day and night now, that parents need to know if their children are under the influence of extremism. So what can they do to protect their children?
Yeah, I have to say that the most heartbreaking part of my work is the occasional calls that we get or emails we get from a parent, or sometimes a school principal or teacher saying, they need help, right? Something is going on, their child has been exposed to this or radicalized, and they don't know what to do. And the fact that a parent is put in a situation where they have to randomly Google, like, how did they find me? I'm just a professor, right? There are very few resources in this country, and there have been very few resources for parents to go to. So we need a whole range of things. First, parents need awareness. They need to understand the risks. They need to understand what it means that, if your kid's online all the time, if they're gaming all the time, a quarter, 25% of 23% of online gamers encounter white supremacist propaganda while gaming, right? So the chances of them encountering this stuff if they're online all the time, the way I argue is, you have to assume that they're going to encounter it. So talk with them early and make sure they understand what does it look like to, how do you recognize scapegoating? How do you recognize white supremacist propaganda or misinformation and disinformation? But parents also need resources to understand how to intervene, how to create conversations with their kids, with the young people in their lives to build more resilience and reduce those vulnerabilities, to give them a sense of control over their lives. And so we partnered with the Southern Poverty Law Center and released a Parents and Caregivers Guide over the summer to advise parents about the risks and ways to strengthen resilience to extremist recruiting during COVID-19. And that is free and available on our website, which is just www.american.edu/peril. That's just a starting point for parents. And it has a resource list in the back that directs them to organizations like Parents for Peace, which was founded by the parents of children who had been become involved in extremism, to get counseling, places for parents to get additional resources, as well as a list of, kind of toxic online communities and sites that they want to pay attention to be aware if their children are engaging on those sites or in those kind of encrypted apps, that those are red flags and warning signs.
One really brief thing before we go, just briefly. What are some of the steps everyday folks can take to deal with this typical, this type of extremism?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, it's important to note that, you know, white supremacist extremism rests on a foundation of white supremacy in this country. And so we need a deeper ongoing engagement in the kind of reckoning that we're having this summer about issues of race, of structural racism, of inherited disparities. And so I think when children are raised with a better understanding of those disparities, they already are building more resilience to the kinds of narratives that come along and offer a different kind of explanation for what they see in their everyday lives. And so I think, you know, schools have a big way to a role to play here. So do parents. In their everyday lives, I think people can be aware of toxic online communities and keep an eye out for the young people in your lives. We're in a situation with heavily reduced engagement with people in communities who would normally be able to recognize red flags. So the coaches, the part-time employers of teenagers, the teachers, the principals and school counselors, for most kids, they're not seeing those people, or they're only seeing them across a screen. And so to the extent that, you know, that adults can keep an eye out and look out for the kinds of things. If you hear a child saying something about, repeating a conspiracy theory about where COVID came from, or about a micro tracker being inserted into a vaccine, or, you know, you hear things that say a little outlandish and they say they read it online, that's an opportunity to talk to them about where they're spending time online and make sure that there are early off ramps and counter information being provided to them to help offset some of the propaganda and content they might have been reading.
Cynthia Miller Idris, professor at American University and author of Hate in the Homeland, The New Global Far Right. GJ Green, WTOP News.